The following program, Sharing Your Faith, has been pre-recorded.
And I said, hey, excuse me. She goes, yes. I says, and talk about having to be blunt. I says, are you a heroin addict? She looked the part to me, but that could have brought great insult. Maybe I am and maybe I aren't. What is that to you? I mean, here this total stranger. Well, she goes, yeah, I am. And I said, could I videotape you? I'm doing a documentary on drug addiction. And she just says, sure. So she comes over with me to the side of the curb now, sitting down, and I begin to videotape her, and she gives one of the best testimonies, and I used it in the video, and it's a very compelling testimony of a young gal hooked on drugs.
Hi there, and welcome to Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. Larry is an evangelist who's been sharing his faith in Jesus for over 30 years. As a street preacher, he has traveled the entire continental United States preaching the gospel in over 200 cities. Taking from his experience in the Word of God, Larry hopes to encourage you in sharing your faith. And now, here's your host, Larry Dubois.
Well, hello again. If you're just joining us, we are continuing on in our Bible study in the book of Acts. We are in chapter 10. We're going to begin chapter 10 here in a moment. I wanted to mention, it's been several weeks, maybe almost a month, since I've done a Bible study recording. There are a number of reasons. We're in the middle of this pandemic. I've been going out on the streets more, and which has allowed me less time to be in the studio, if you will, doing this sort of thing, and also doing some extra things on YouTube and Facebook, which include video. But we're going to do the continual Bible study now. By the way, we're also trying to get into do some nursing home ministry. I had stopped going up to the nursing home because of some personal health issues prior to the pandemic. But as you're well aware, they put the kibosh on people going in there for the last couple of months anyway. So I would have had to stop anyway. But we're going to try to go in there, not necessarily to do a Bible study, but just to do sort of make the rounds, ministers to some of the people, and be able to pray with them and visit, whatever it would take. So pray for that. If that's something the Lord would have us, He can certainly open up a door when there seems to be no way we could possibly get in there. But anyway, today is Sunday, the last day in May, the 31st. Today was the first day that the church I've been attending here in the Citrus Heights area, Calvary Chapel of Roseville, they opened up, and we were able to go up there and worship in person. They had some restrictions, of course, some guidelines we had to go by. Very little consequence, really, I felt, to be able to meet in person. But it's just a big mess. A lot of the bigger churches can't meet still. There's some that we're going to meet regardless of what the government said. I don't know how many got to do that today. We got riots out in the streets here in America over a police officer killing an innocent man or a suspect of something. It's just a mess. The world seems to be exploding at the seams, and this is something that is predicted in the Bible. And it says in Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come. And it lists a whole section there on what that would look like. And we've certainly seen a lot of that. So hopefully we got to get back to God's word, get settled in the kingdom, further the kingdom of God, and be prepared to be received up into glory at some point in time here at the second coming of Christ. And until that happens, just to be about the Lord's business. So I'm not sure how far we'll get in the verses. It's a great dynamic chapter, fairly long chapter, but we're going to go ahead and start in, and I'll go ahead and read. I'm just going to read partway down, just this maybe till I think we can go before we break this week. But if you have your Bibles, by all means, follow along. Acts 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea, or Caesarea, however that's pronounced, called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius? And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And so he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who had waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray, about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creepy things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision was, which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house to hear words from you." And then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And we're going to go ahead and stop there. Well, anyway, as you can see, and if you read ahead, you probably read this before, this is basically something that was divinely set up by the Lord, basically in his sovereign rule, orchestrating through his will, of course, and through this angel, to get together this man, Cornelius, and Peter. And the whole purpose of this, as we will see next time, was to preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household. Now, you could make a good case that it wasn't just for the salvation of this one man that was important here. This was basically an official opening up to the gospel to the Gentile world. We see early on in the book of Acts that... In fact, that's what I meant to say earlier when I forgot. Today is Sunday the 31st. It's Pentecost Sunday that we celebrate. And it reminded me of it because it's in the second chapter of Acts. And that's the idea of Pentecost. Well, anyway, early on, you remember in the book of Acts, early on, the gospel, the Holy Spirit came and filled the believers, and they were called to go out into all the world, beginning in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then to Samaria, the other ends of the world. Well, the gospel certainly went out in Jerusalem and Judea. And then we see in Acts chapter 8 where it went to Samaria. And you could say officially went to Samaria there. And now here it's officially going to the rest of the Gentile world with the beginning of Cornelius. And once again, Peter's involved because it was through Peter God had promised to give the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And it was Peter who would be that agent, if you will, the one who God would send to also give the gospel to the Gentiles. So let's go back to verse 1. We'll go down verse by verse as is our custom. It says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment. Now this, of course, was a division of the Roman army. A centurion was someone who governed about 100 soldiers. Thus, the term century. The century means, 100. and he was a centurion, and we understand him to be in charge of about 100 people, 100 soldiers under him. It tells us that he was, so he was an officer in the Roman army. It tells us in verse 2 that he was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. So he was what we would call a Gentile believer, a Gentile proselyte to the Jewish faith, one who feared God, who yet wasn't necessarily saved. He did not understand the gospel, didn't understand God's plan of salvation at this point. He did not understand who, in fact, Jesus was. He may have heard of him. I believe he had, as we go on again next week and see when Peter explains the gospel. He assumes that this man has at least heard about Jesus and the impact Jesus made on that whole region with just his healing ministry. And he would have been a well-known figure. Well, anyway, this guy was a devout man. And he feared God. He was one who not only feared God, but he brought up his household to fear the God of Israel, the one and true God. So he believed in the God of Israel. And it says he gave alms generously to the people. Well, he no doubt had some money, being an officer. And he probably gave regularly to the poor people. That was a custom back in those days. Poor people, as we knew the man at the beautiful gate back there in earlier in the book of Acts, he had no means of getting any income other than people's generosity, giving him alms or giving him handouts, basically. So that's what this man was. That was his habit. That was his custom. And that was what he was about. And this describes his character. That not only was he devout, that means he was very serious. He was reverent about the things of God. And that he showed it through his actions by giving alms. And it says generously. He wasn't stingy. And he prayed to God always. So he was a man of prayer. So we get to know a little bit about what kind of man Cornelius was. And even though he was, in fact, in the Roman army, he definitely was a man who understood God, believed in God, maybe not knowing God personally, but understanding that there was a God, and he prayed to this God. Well, it tells us in verse 3, it was about the ninth hour of the day, he saw in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. So when he observed him, he was afraid. And that's a reaction that you'll see a lot in the Bible when angels show up. People are afraid. You know, they're startled. They maybe not know what it is right away, who it is. And when they do, maybe they think it's going to bring judgment. There was a lot of times in the Old Testament when an angel showed up, people had a reason to fear because God was sending them to inflict some sort of judgment upon the land or something. So he was afraid, as I'm sure we would be. But he said, what is it, Lord? The angel said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. So God was acknowledging this man through his prayers and through his works. Now we know that good works does not save us, but nevertheless, this good work that he was doing, I believe, came from his faith in God. I mean, just the way it lays it out there, I don't sense that this soldier, Cornelius, was giving alms out of some ulterior motive. I think he was doing it unto the Lord. I believe he was doing it as an act of worship to God. And so there would be no reason why his works would not be accepted. We're going to see later how Peter even mentions that. Whoever works righteousness is accepted by God. We'll see that later on in this chapter. So this, according to the angel, God was pleased with this man. And they came up, it says, as a memorial. I guess when the gospel goes to the Gentile world, officially, he could have chosen anybody, but he decided to choose this guy. And so now he tells him, send men to Joppa, verse 5. And send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. So Peter Simon, or Simon Peter. And he's lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Well, you look at that and think, why didn't the angel just tell him what to do right then and there? Well, he could have. God could have commissioned that angel to tell him, and why even bring Peter into it? Why even, you know, go to all this trouble, if you will, to arrange this meeting? Why not just have God just tell him right there how to be saved? Well, God works through people. God works through his people. He works through basically sinners who have been saved to tell other sinners about Jesus, about where to find bread, if you will. One beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread of life. And that's how God works. But in this case, he did supernaturally cause this great meeting to take place. Now, I don't know how many meetings that God arranges. We don't even know. We think, oh, it's a coincidence I ran into this person or that person, or it was sure a coincidence. I remember thinking before I was saved, right before I was saved, I thought, you know, there's all these people telling me about Jesus. I thought, wow, what a coincidence. And I sat there and I thought to myself, that they don't know each other. How do they, you know, and I never considered, well, hey, God's doing this. So God's arranging these things all the time, even outside of us, without involving us, causing us to run into certain people, tell them about the Lord or whatever it might be. Well, anyway, the instruction was to go get Peter, and Peter's going to tell him what to do. Cornelius, it says, he calls two of his household servants and a devout soldier, and he basically tells them what happened, how he saw this angel, what the angel's instructions were, and so he sends them to Joppa. So he sends this delegation to Joppa to seek out Peter. Now, the next day in verse 9, it tells us, as they went on their journey and drew near the city at this time that they were doing this, at the same time, now Peter goes up on the housetop to pray. It says it was about the sixth hour. He was getting hungry. And while he was waiting for them to make ready the lunch or whatever, it said he fell into a trance. And in verse 11, he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending on him let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. Well, if we're not going to go there today, but if you go back to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament there, you're going to find a list of unclean animals that were forbidden by the Jewish people to eat. And these were ceremonially good practical lesson. Maybe they carried disease, that sort of thing. There is a good practical side to it, but God was setting his people apart from the rest of the world. The rest of the world ate basically anything, but he's calling these Jews to come out from the world, to be separate, to eat only certain things, to do only certain things, to have these rituals, these ceremonies, to serve God. Well, now, Peter grew up his whole life keeping kosher, basically, not eating these things that were forbidden. And now he's seen this vision where it's saying, go ahead and eat. Rise, Peter, kill and eat, says in verse 13. And Peter says, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And I believe that. I believe Peter did, like most Jews, they were able to refrain from keeping, from eating unclean things by keeping the law in that area. They never eat these forbidden things. And it's interesting because he recognizes visions coming from the Lord, because he answers him, Lord, not so, Lord. I don't know if he thought the Lord was testing him to see if he would eat them. And he thought, man, I'm not going to eat them. Are you kidding me, Lord? I'm not going to. I never have. Why would I start now? And Peter is like, I don't know what's going on here. Verse 15, a voice spoke to him again the second time, saying, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times. And the object was taken up into heaven again. Well, we know that sometimes the Lord does things in threes. This could be for emphasis. This could be for focus, so that he would be understanding that, you know, he was getting it through his thick skull, that this wasn't just something that happened once. It happened three times that he would get the message. Later on, we're going to see that he did get the message, because he tells Cornelius that God has showed him not to call anything common or unclean, and mainly the Gentile peoples. But that was the lesson he was learning there. It wasn't so much about eating food that was, not meant for them to eat. It was, he was going to use this as an analogy to say, look, the Jewish people think that the Gentile people are unclean, but God has cleansed them. God has accepted them, and he's cleansed them through Jesus Christ. Just like anybody who needs cleansing, it's going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritually cleansed. So now in verse 17, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision that he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So about the time he's coming down after this experience, here these guys are showing up at the gate. And they asked, hey, does this guy live here? We're inquiring. This guy named Simon, surnamed Peter, was lodging there. While Peter was thinking about this vision, it says, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Well, this is great confidence now that Peter has, because these guys are going to ask him to come and see this Cornelius in person. And Peter already knows ahead of time that, hey, don't worry about it. This is something God's doing. This is something I've ordained. So don't worry about it. Don't question it. Just go with them. So he's telling us ahead of time. Now it says the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Now we don't know if it was an audible voice or not. I don't know if you, my friends, have had a testimony where you feel like God was really speaking to you in a certain area. And I've had that happen. And of course, it's not something that's clearly brought out in Scripture. See, Peter couldn't go to the Old Testament and find a verse that said, go with these guys. In fact, he can make a good case that he shouldn't hang around Gentiles, if anything. A lot of times, the direct answer is not in the Scriptures for us to do. Sometimes the principles are there that we can follow. But a lot of times, we have decisions to make. We have places we may want to go. Maybe it's to go work a job. Maybe it's to go to a certain school. Maybe it's to marry a certain person in marriage. Maybe it's life choices that aren't clear cut written in the Bible where we could just go to the print and say, oh, there it is. That's all that says it and it's cut and dry. These are things that we have to weigh out in prayer. Sometimes prayer and fasting. Sometimes we have to really seek the Lord, wait on the Lord. See how things develop. We're unsure. Well, in this case, of course, they gave assurance to Peter, don't worry about what these guys are asking you to do. Just go ahead and go with them. And Peter had that confidence because he heard from the, and Peter had that confidence because he heard from the Lord to go ahead and do that. Now, I just want to give a brief testimony where I've had this experience. Now, it doesn't happen on a daily basis, but it has happened to me in my life. And you could say, well, I don't believe God does that today. You could say, I don't think that was the Lord. Or you could say, I think that was the Lord. I don't know. But what I experienced was I was working down in a ministry involved the homeless people. And I had my camera with me because I was making a film. And I don't want to get into a big, long story about this, but this video I was making on drug addiction, and then of course in the video I wanted to express my faith in Jesus Christ and get out the gospel message. But I was taking my camera everywhere I went because I thought, you know, never know when I'll use it to film somebody or interview somebody or something. So I had my camera with me and I just felt all of a sudden this, it wasn't like an audible voice. It was like this impression in my mind, in my soul. It was very specific. It said, walk out to the edge of the sidewalk and there'll be a woman coming down and I want you to film her. And I thought, what? I didn't have time to mull it over. It was so strong. I just obeyed that inclination. If you want to call it a voice, it was a silent voice within. But I just obeyed it. I just went out to the edge of the sidewalk. And I had to act fast, I'm telling you, because all of a sudden I look up and here's this gal. And I go, that's got to be it. That she's got to be the one. And I mean, I stop her. She would have kept going. And I said, hey, excuse me. And she goes, yes. I says, and talk about having to be blunt. I says, are you a heroin addict? She looked the part to me. But that could have brought great insult. Maybe I am and maybe I aren't. What is that to you? I mean, here, this total stranger. Well, she goes, yeah, I am. And I said, could I videotape you? I'm doing a documentary on drug addiction. And she just says, sure. So she comes over with me to the side of the curb now, sitting down, and I begin to videotape her, and she gives one of the best testimonies, and I used it in the video, and it's a very compelling testimony of a young gal hooked on drugs. Okay, so I would have never found her had not I felt God, I felt it was God who was telling me to go over to the edge of the sidewalk and I would run into this gal. Well, first of all, he had her walk by at the exact time. I mean, it just all of the ramifications of the timing of it all is just mind boggling. But I call that a divine appointment. Well, it was a similar thing here. So we know it's biblical that the Spirit speaks to people, that God arranges things for His purposes. I think the big controversy today is He still doing that today or not? Let's see, that would be the big argument. People say, well, that's not for today. You know, that I'm not convinced that it wasn't. You couldn't convince me because how it turned out. Now, let's just say I go to the edge of the sidewalk and nothing happens. Or if I said to this gal something and she goes, oh, yeah, but I'm not going to be filmed. And many number of things could have happened and it wouldn't have materialized. And I would have maybe came to the conclusion that that wasn't God. But it panned out, and that's why I was kind of convinced it was from the Lord. And again, I mean, I wish I could say the Lord always directs me this way. The Lord's always speaking to me this way. But I haven't had that happen that often. It has happened in other situations before too, but it's not an everyday occurrence. Anyway, some would say it should be. Some would have you believe that you can have experiences like that all the time. Some don't believe you should have those at all. And they're going to reject it no matter what the outcome is. So the bottom line, my friends, is you're going to have to decide for yourself. Any experience you have, we are to line it up with Scripture, of course. Okay, enough of that. Let's move on. He tells Peter, don't doubt anything. Okay. He says, go ahead and go down. There's going to be these people. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I've sent them. Verse 21, and Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am of he whom you seek. What reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house to hear words from you. So I would think that at that point Peter would be, yeah, definitely, I'll go. First of all, I had my own experience while you guys were on your way over here, how the Spirit told me to go with you. And now even your own request, with the testimony that this man was summoned, you know, it was the angel who told him to summon me, and I'm supposed to come speak, makes sense to me. I could just see him thinking, yeah, this is all fits, I'm going to go. But he invites them in, verse 23, to lodge them. So apparently it was later in the day. They come in, they're going to leave in the morning because, you know, they're going probably on foot. Maybe they have horses, I don't know. But it's not like they can just jump in their car and drive. They're going to get a fresh start in the morning. It tells us in verse 23, so on the next day, Peter went away with them and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. We're going to see later that in chapter 11, it goes through this whole story in chapter 10 again. And we're going to see that these guys that are from Joppa that go with Peter, in fact, I think he says it was six of them, it's a good thing they go with them because they become witnesses of what took place. And that is very important as he has to answer to these Jewish leaders and these other Jewish peers. Well, Peter's a leader himself, but he has to answer to these Jewish people later, why did you go into the house of the Gentiles, which was forbidden? And so he explains why he goes in, but he also has these Jewish men that also saw what happened. They testify. It's going to help his case, so to speak, tremendously. Well, these are the guys. So it's something you don't think of right then, but later you see how important that is. Some of the brethren from Joppa went with him. And so I guess a lesson to learn is there are safety in numbers. I don't think Peter had any reason to believe that he was in any kind of physical danger by going with these guys and just went by himself. But it's always going to be safety in numbers. And he brought these other guys, and it turns out what they're going to be is they're going to be eyewitnesses to what takes place when the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. We're going to pick that up next time in verse 24, so you can read ahead and see how this comes out in the end. And we're going to be looking at the gospel next time and the finer points of the message of Peter and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So till then, my friends, thank you very much, and God bless you.
And this has been Sharing Your Faith with Larry Dubois. If you would like to listen to a past broadcast or ask a question that would be aired on a future show, simply go to sharingyourfaithradio.com. And then we trust you'll join us again next time for Sharing Your Faith on First Love Radio, your Christian internet station.